Hello. Welcome to Torah Timecha, Parsha with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Chana Tenenbaum, and today we will be studying Parshat Bereishit. In this week's Parsha, we have two versions of the creation, Chapter 1 and Chapter 2, reflecting two of man's different roles in the world. In Chapter 3, we read of the story of Adam and Chava, Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and the sin of eating from the Tree of Knowledge, the first religious sin against God's specific command. And then in chapter 4, we learn of the first moral sin when Cain murders his brother Hevel. The Parsha ends with lists of generations and the decline of humanity into sin and corruption. Rashi asks a very famous question. If the purpose of Torah is to teach laws, then Torah should have begun with the first law that appears in Shemot chapter 12, the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh, the new moon. Rashi answers what he does, but today we will follow the approach of the Ramban to this question. Ramban, who was born in 1194 in Gerona, Spain, explains that all of Bereishit comes to teach an important principle. There is a God who is involved with his creations, and he rewards and punishes based on those actions. It is not only sin and its ramifications, but God, in order to keep the world existing, created the concept of repentance. This is the theme we will be exploring through the book of Bereishit, sin, punishment, and tshuva, repentance. In chapter 3, God gives mankind its first obligation, which is a form of kashrut. You may eat this, but not that. And it's considered in the category of chok, a mitzvah that the rationale for us is unclear. But the message is clear. Life isn't hit or miss, find your own way, but God gives us direction. God is master, man is his servant, and the relationship between them. The world belongs to God, and you cannot come and do whatever you please. If there is a commander, there is a responsibility to listen, and this is the root of reward and punishment. The command, though, gives life meaning. The three primary players in the Garden of Eden story represent the three primary reasons man sins. The snake questioned Eve, saying, "So what that God commanded?" In other words, who cares what God has commanded? Maybe he commanded because he doesn't want you to enjoy, or he really hates you, or he does not want you to attain more than he has already allowed you. The serpent represents mankind, who rebel against God. He is the Satan, the angel of death, the personification of the evil inclination. He manipulates the actual command of God, making it seem more strict than it was. He also negates the woman's claims to be the word of God. He introduces doubt into the woman's mind. The woman sins because of her desire. She specifically states that this tree is in the center. She clearly sees that the tree was good for food, and it was a delight to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise. Her sin begins, as many sins do, with the eye that sees. Eve's sin is one rooted in desire. Her baser instincts take over her intellectual capabilities, and her action is determined not by a well-thought-out process, rather by the desire of the fruit. And Adam, like many of the humanity after him, sins because of peer pressure. Eve persuades him with kind words. She brought the fruit to her husband with her. He was at one with her and is therefore liable for punishment. Man sins and God calls to him, "Where are you? Ayeka." And Adam believes that he can hide from God. God obviously knew where he was, but God was initiating a dialogue with him in order to give man the opportunity to repent. God desires repentance so he can avoid punishing mankind. When man tries to hide from God, it is a subconscious reaction admitting his guilt. He knows he has done wrong and is trying to cover up, actually and figuratively. When a person is physically ill, he has manifestations of pain which need to be treated sooner rather than later. According to the Rav in On Repentance on page 194, sin is also a disease, and it too reaches human consciousness through the language of suffering, through deep and piercing pain, through spiritual agony, which can be sharper and more unbearable than any bodily suffering. The spiritual pain caused by Adam's sin awakens in him feelings of guilt, shame, and embarrassment. It's only after the first sin that Adam feels he needs to be covered. Suddenly, his body is a source of embarrassment. Yet, Adam seems incapable of accepting responsibility for his sin. God's first opportunity for him to admit, he misses. On the second round, Adam indeed blames God and shifts full blame onto the woman's shoulders. He intimates that since God gave him the woman, God is therefore responsible. And Adam said, "The woman you put at my side, she gave me the tree and I ate." Rather than accepting that it is his choice that caused him to transgress, he blames other choices. The Medrash seems to indicate that Adam's test wasn't only if he would eat from the tree, but also how we would respond to sin, by doing tshuva or by blaming others. There is no indication whatsoever in the text that Adam repented. So Adam is the first sinner. He lives 930 years, but essentially we know very little about him other than this first day. Yet, he does not receive the punishment that God had threatened him with. In Bereshit 2:17, God says, "But as for the tree of knowledge of good and bad, you must not eat of it, for as soon as you eat, you will die." The Ibn Ezra, born in 1089 in Toldela, Spain, says, and I quote, "According to my thinking, the correct interpretation of this verse is to be found in the words of the rabbinic sages who said that Adam repented. Had Adam not repented, he would have died on the day he ate of the tree of knowledge, but he repented and thus was spared." Their interpretation is in keeping with the words of Yirmiyahu, who says, based on the pasuk in Yirmiyahu 18:7-8, "At one moment I may decree that a nation or a kingdom shall be uprooted and pulled down and destroyed. But if that nation, which I made the decree, turns back from its wickedness, I change my mind concerning the punishment I planned to bring to it." But when did Adam do tshuva? There are various opinions in the commentators. The first is that Adam actually repented on the first day of creation, which is Rosh Hashanah, setting the stage for all of humanity to repent on that day. The Medrash describes hour by hour what happened to Adam on the day of his creation. He was conceived intellectually during the first hour of the day. God consulted with the angels during the second hour. During the third to sixth hours, man's physical form was created from the dust and soil. He was given a neshama during the seventh hour. He was introduced into Gan Eden in the eighth hour. He was commanded not to eat from the tree on the ninth hour. He transgressed this command in the 10th hour. He was judged in the 11th hour, and he was acquitted in the 12th hour. And when did all of this transpire? On the first day of the 7th month. God intended to punish Adam immediately, but Shabbat came and intervened. According to the Midrash Shachar Tov, Shabbat said before Hashem, "Master of the world, during the 6 days of creation, no one was punished in the world, and you want to start with me? Is this an expression of my holiness, of my tranquility?" And for the sake of Shabbat, Adam was spared from the judgment of Gehenom. Once Adam saw the power of Shabbat, he desired to sing a hymn to Shabbat, Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbat, a song of praise to Shabbat. And Shabbat says to Adam, "To me you are singing? Let us both together sing to Hashem, as it says in Tehillim, Tov lehodot laHashem. It is good to thank God." Pirkei DeRabbi Elazar continues and says, "Tov lehodot laHashem, not it's good to thank God, but rather lehodot, it is good to confess to God. The first man said, 'Let all generations learn from me, that whoever sings and utters psalms to the name of the Most High and confesses his transgressions in the court of justice and abandons them will be delivered from the judgment of Gehenom, as it says, it is good to confess to the Lord.'" So not only is this psalm a song praising Shabbat, it also becomes the root of tshuva. It is a psalm to the day that Adam recognized the power of tshuva. The Or HaChaim in Shmot chapter 20, verse 8 says, Zochor et Yom HaShabbat Lekadsho. Remember the Shabbat day and keep it holy. The Torah asks to remember the Shabbat as the day which saved Adam's life, because this fact also ensured our own existence and that of all of mankind. It behooves us, therefore, to accord special honor to the Shabbat. The Shabbat proved to be our very life-saver. Both Shabbat and Tshuva have the same goal, to return man to God, to reconnect. On Shabbat, we recognize that it is God who runs the world, not humanity. And this idea gives rise to Tshuva, the humbling of oneself before God. Adam became the symbol for all future generations. Just as he entered before God in judgment and God forgave him, so too God will forgive his children in the future. That Adam sinned and was forgiven on Rosh Hashanah means that this day has a built-in higher potential for us to be forgiven. God said to Adam, "My children, because you entered before me in judgment and came out exempt, it is as though you were created before me today, as though today I created you a new creation." Adam is the first sinner in the Torah, but he is also the first to receive forgiveness. The second opinion, though, says that Adam did not repent on the first day of creation. And because true tshuva is being in the same place and not repeating the action, Adam, having been expelled from the Garden of Eden, thought he could not return to the same place, the same time, and the same test, and he thought, therefore, that the paths of tshuva were closed to him. The Midrash tells a fascinating story based on the verse in chapter 4, verse 16, Vayetze Kayin milifnei Hashem, that Kayin left the presence of Hashem. Now, that is a problematic expression. Where did he leave from? What was he coming out of? And the Midrash explains in Bereshit Rabbah that he was coming out of his judgment after having killed his brother. Adam met him and said, "How did your judgment go?" And Kayin answered, "I repented and did tshuva, and I am reconciled." Adam began to hide his face, crying, and said, "This is the power of tshuva? And I did not know." Immediately, Adam rose and said, Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbat, a psalm of Shabbat, which is Psalm 92. Rabbi Levi says, this more was said first by Adam. It was forgotten in his generation. Came Moshe and renewed it under his name. It is a good thing to thank God. Either way, the composition of Mizmor Shir is written by Adam when he is repenting. But what's interesting about this Midrash is not only does it tell us about Adam and his repentance, but we also learn about the repentance of Kayin as well. Just like his father, Kayin kills his brother. God asks him where his brother is, and Kayin answers inappropriately, "Am I my brother's keeper?" God then delivers his punishment, to which in chapter 4, verse 13, Kayin responds, "Gadol avoni minaso, my sin is too great to bear." Rashi interprets the statement as one ending with a question mark. In other words, Kayin is saying cynically, asking a rhetorical question of God, "What, is my sin too great to bear? You shoulder the whole world. Can you not bear my sin as well?" However, Ibn Ezra and Ramban view this verse as a statement with an exclamation point at the end, the first step in sincere repentance, that of admitting guilt. Either way, God does give Kayin a sign and protects him and accepts his repentance. So that already in the first parsha of Bereshit, we have two stories of sin and repentance. By concentrating on fixing, man can become a partner with God in creation. Repentance is similar to creation in that it is also a form of creating something new, something that was not there in the past. The Midrash tells us that God created and destroyed worlds, representing that just as he, God, can create anew when necessary, man might need to destroy the world he has built from himself and start fresh. Man when he repents, takes something of the crime and turns it into nothing, as if it never happened. A vital teaching of these chapters is that man has free will, and it is in his power to work either with or against God. It's not the knowledge of evil, but the succumbing to it, which is deadly. Man may see the forbidden fruit, he may not eat of it. Man himself can make or mar his destiny through his choices. In all ages and all conditions, man has shown the power to resist the suggestions of sin and proved himself superior to the power of evil. And if man stumbles and falls on the pathway of life, Judaism bids him rise again and seek the face of the Heavenly Father in humility, contrition, and repentance. It is clear, as opposed to an idea expressed by many in this world, that although man did fall, stumbling is correctable, and man can rise again to the heights he once held. Man has the ability to get back to the place where he started. The fundamental definition of tshuva, the root shin, that means to return to some place you have been previously, or perhaps even higher. Thank you for studying Parshat Bereishit, the creation of mankind, their sin, and their repentance. And now for a thought question. Why is Adam's tshuva not stated more clearly in the text?